Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you might be listening. My name is Frank Duncan. I'm here with the Backfield Banter podcast. We're just going to take some time today to kind of introduce ourselves and talk about why we wanted to make a podcast. We got a group, good group here, and hopefully we can impart some baseball knowledge and talk about our love for sports and all aspects, and also what we have going on here at the facility. We're all here at the premier baseball facility in Leawood. Without any further ado, I'll hand over my partner Zach. He'll talk about kind of his role here at Premier and what he does day in, day out.
Yeah, I'm Zach McLeod. In the building, I kind of wear a few different hats, but primarily I'm the assistant strength coach at Top Flight Performance. We help kids from ages 9 all the way to guys in the big leagues work on getting better on the field and helping them athletically in the weight room, get stronger, get faster, more explosive, whatever they kind of need. In the mornings, I work with a lot of our professional athletes in the weight room and then also work with a few of the hitters in the building, getting them ready for their season. And we're really excited to start this podcast and just kind of talk about what we do, what we like to do here, and have interviews with a lot of our players and different guys in the sports world.
All right, my name's Daniel Harper. I'm a right-handed pitcher in the Phillies organization. Grew up in Kansas City. I've been training at Premier for the last 9 or 10 years. I went to the University of Kentucky for 5 years, got drafted in 2022. And overall, I just have a love for training and performance. I've had 3 injuries, 3 surgeries, hip labrum, Tommy John, and bone spurs. And through that, I've just kind of found a passion for making myself better, and in that, just a passion for coaching.
Awesome. And then before we get to the man of the hour who's here, Mr. Trevor, we'll introduce the man in the chair, our producer on everything as far as the podcast goes. Will, you want to take a second and introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Will Stevens. I've been with Bob for probably 5-6 years, training with him. I'm in the Rays organization right now. Got drafted last year, and it's been good. Love coaching for Bob now and doing what he's doing and seeing everything that he's got going on.
Yeah, and before we get going, we're going to mention Bob Zimmerman a lot. He's not with us today. He is up north in the other facility, kind of running the pitching program, which we'll get into later. But if we mention him, he's going to be on the next podcast, kind of introducing himself and like the story of Premier and how it kind of came about and some of the athletes in it. But just checking that box so that if you don't know who he is, you kind of know who we're talking about. We're going to go ahead and start with our interview with Trevor Jones, who's my boss and the owner of Top Flight Performance. Trevor, if you want to kind of give us a little background on yourself, you know, your playing days, what got you to fall in love with strength and conditioning, and how you ended up here at Premier.
It's good to be here. Basically, I think I pulled up to Premier, 5 years ago. Out as a hitting instructor. And then I think they brought me on part-time as a strength and conditioning coach with another company that they were partnered with. Played baseball at the University of Central Missouri. I was there from 2011 to 2015. Starting center fielder for them. Majored in exercise science. Kind of got into the strength and conditioning thing there at school. Did a couple internships there. Ended up leaving, graduated in 2016. Moved to Kansas City in 2017. Got my master's degree and my CSCS in 2019. And basically, I just want to use this podcast to put out good information about the sport performance world. There's a lot of BS out there, and I just want to be a good outlet for athletes to come to, with good quality, consistent information to help them improve their performance on the field.
Awesome. Thanks, Trevor. So we'll take a second and kind of go around the circle. I know Trevor spoke a little bit about what his goal is as far as why he wants to be here and why he wants to help out the podcast and the kind of information that he's trying to impart on everybody listening. And we'll just try and kind of go around the circle now and kind of explain why each one of us thought this would be a good idea, especially in a day and age when I feel like there's podcasts all over, like what makes this podcast different and what we're trying to achieve with it. So I'll go hand it back over to Zach and tell us what do you think, what's your goal here and why did you want to start a podcast?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, my background, I've coached in high school, I've coached at the college level, I've done a, you know, volunteer amateur scouting internship. I've done strength and conditioning at the high school level, at the college level. So I think for me, everything we do in the building is to help guys produce on the field, be confident on the field. And I think a lot of times guys, especially younger athletes, they kind of section all that stuff off and think of it as its own thing. So what they're doing in the weight room isn't really helping them. In the box as a hitter, on the mound as a pitcher, or they're doing things drill-wise to throw harder, but it's not really helping them out there. The goals aren't all in sync, and so I think we do a good job in the building, communicating with each other, with the athletes, trying to get everything to go in the same direction. So really just kind of helping people understand what we're doing. I think sometimes facilities can get a bad rap. It's like, hey, they're just going there to throw harder, and then they get in the game, they can't throw strikes, get outs, or hitters are just getting in there swinging the bat hard but not making any contact. So trying to let the community know kind of like what we're working on and what we're trying to do on our end to help guys be more successful.
Yeah, so my main reason for being here is I've been working at Premier for the last 3 years during the off season, and I practically live here. I'm here for probably more than 8 hours a day, and there's just so much knowledge in this building and the conversations that I think we have, you know, in private on the training floor on the throwing side, in the weight room with Trevor. I think it just needs, some of that information needs to get out there, and hopefully it can help one person, because if we can reach one person, change their career, then it's all going to be worth it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And as far as why I think that it's a good idea to do a podcast here and kind of with the people that we're going to have on, Harper talked about like maybe changing that one person's career. I was definitely one of those one people, you know. I came to Premier in 2017, 2018, right after I had been released for a second time from affiliated baseball, and I knew I needed to make some changes. I didn't know what kind of changes necessarily I needed to make. I just knew that I kind of needed to make some wholesale changes to become better as a pitcher, as an athlete, as kind of all around. And when I walked in the door, I met Bob, and Bob's wealth of knowledge as far as the pitching side go and as far as how the body works on the pitching side is, it can't be matched as far as I'm concerned. He's one of the smartest guys that I've met in baseball. He's one of the best people that I've seen in as far as applying the knowledge that he has and making sure that athlete picks up on it and then gets better because of the information that we have. And then the last couple years I've been able to work out and train here with Top Flight Performance, and that's taken on a whole mind of its own as far as being an older athlete. I'm 32 now, but I'm still playing. I've got to train much differently than I did when I was 21. And that was hard for me to kind of wrap my head around. And I hated it at first, but I feel better because of it. And working with Trevor and working with Zach, making sure I'm doing the right things that I need to be doing as far as staying on the field, because that's ultimately the most important part of baseball. You know, if you're not on the field, you're not doing anything.
So you would say the trainer that you have now is pretty good at his job? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, Trevor does an amazing job. Trevor does an amazing job. No, everybody over on the strength side does a good job. And it's just a great environment to come in and work at and train at and talk about baseball, talk about sports in general. It's just kind of like a really good family atmosphere here. And when you're in the family that everybody kind of knows what they're doing, everybody kind of gets pulled along and becomes better because of it. I know Will's probably not going to like this because he wants to be the guy behind the scenes and the producer and stuff, but Will has a good story, and he's a phenomenally talented pitcher. And well, how did you get here?
Yeah, so I had some people a lot more knowledgeable than me in high school point me towards Bob, and I was pretty resistant to come down here. I thought I knew a lot back then, and then, you know, looking back, I didn't even know how little I knew. So being able to get into touch with Bob right after my junior year of high school, right after I committed to a college, was really big. He kind of set me on a path of being more focused on getting better, whereas a lot of the people I was around at the time were just trying to be good where they were instead of trying to shoot for really your full potential, which is something that I think as young athletes is really important, because you don't know where that limit is until you reach it. And I think that's where Bob and Top Flight over here, like, that's what they really strive to do, is to put everybody in a position to reach their very best potential, which is really cool. And these are the people that you need to have putting information out there.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think we all know that 12-year-old who was just the best baseball player, the best basketball player in the world when he was 12. And then you fast forward like 15 years later, or not 15 years later, until he's 15 or 16, and you're like, what happened to this guy? Like, he used to be just the man on the field, and now he's just kind of another guy. And so making sure you're just trying to get better one step at a time, 1% at a time, is big, even when you're already the best at a certain age, you know, because everyone kind of catches up eventually. So let's kind of transition here, and we'll talk about kind of the process that we go through here at the facility. I'll hand it over to Trevor and Zach, and they'll talk about kind of the intake process that we go through when a new athlete comes in the door, because I think it's important to first it's important to understand and target what the athlete needs to do to get better. Right, because that's kind of a hard thing. He can come in and you can ask him, hey, what do you want to do to get better? And I'll just say, I just want to jump higher. Hey, but how do we do that? You know what I'm saying? So what do you guys do when the athlete comes in? How do we set goals, and what are the ways that we kind of create those targets to make sure the athletes are getting better every time they're coming in?
Yeah, I think the big thing, and I'll have Trevor talk more about it, but we really just try to create a system where guys can come in, and if they can execute those things, they'll get better. You know, I think all athletes in general need certain things in the weight room to help them produce on the field. Like, obviously, specifically, we're talking about baseball, but if we're talking about a younger athlete, if you're doing the correct things in the weight room, it's going to help you in any sport, no matter what. But kind of our general process is we have somebody reach out. It could be in person, email, phone call, doesn't really matter. We'll have them come in. They'll do a movement assessment, typically with Trevor. We'll put them on our force plates, which are, they're kind of like a high-tech jump mat almost, where it's going to give us vertical, it's going to give us asymmetry. So hey, you're using your right leg more than your left, vice versa. You know, myself, I had a knee injury playing in college. So for me, it always flags my left leg and says hey, you're using your left leg 15% less than your right. So what we would do with that is we, you know, ask a standard question hey, have you had an injury before? Yes. Okay. That's why. If you haven't, it's just kind of a flag for hey, it could be a possibility that there could be an injury later on in life, you know, so we would look at that, we'd target it, say hey, we're going to try to clean this up. After we get the movement screenings, all the force plate testing, we kind of sit down with that information and build a plan to attack that athlete's needs based on where they are, retest it 4 to 6 weeks later. And that really just keeps us in check, make sure our programming is good to go. Movement side, we're looking at certain things, and Trevor typically does that, so he can kind of talk about our movement screening and what those things do, the tests we're doing, and what those mean and how that can translate to the field.
Yeah, so basically on the movement screening side is I take them through probably 12 different movements. I look at how the athlete squats, hinges, lunges, balances on one leg, you know, things like that. Because being an athlete, you have to be able to get in certain positions. And if you're locked up in the hips a certain way, then that can limit power output and kind of lead to other issues. If your thoracic spine isn't mobile enough, that could lead to rotator cuff issues, elbow issues. So we try to take a look at the body from the ground up, and then based on things that we see, we decide to come up with some sort of movement correction or mobility drills to help try to address some of the issues that we see.
Yeah, and I think easy examples, right? We got Harper and Frank and Will in here. Right now, you know, for Frank, he talked about, our main goal, right, is he's not a 21-year-old junior in college anymore. And so we're kind of at the point, you know, in his career where it's hey, can we pitch for X amount of years longer? Let's keep climbing the ladder, keep getting those paychecks, make sure you're in a spot where you can go out there every fifth, sixth day, depending on his start schedule. You know, and then we got Harper, who's, 25 years old, and we get him on the force plates and they're getting lit up, right? And it's just different points in different guys' career, and you're just trying to figure out how we can attack those angles to make them as successful as possible where they are. And when you get a 12-year-old kid, we did a test the other day on 12-year-old kid, and I was just hey, have you ever deadlifted before? And no. And it's well, I'm not going to get him on the plates and do a mid-thigh pull because he's never done that movement before. So we're just going to wait. We're going to teach that, and then we can go back at it and look at it again once he gets those movements down. But honestly, if you're looking at a 12-year-old kid, let's just get stronger and a little bit more physical, and those, explosive numbers will start to climb. And honestly, at that age, it's the confidence starts to come. You know, you're starting to pull more weight, you see improvements, you're able to show them on the tech that we have, because, you know, I don't think tech is the end all be all. You can do a strength program without it, you can do a pitching program without it. But I think the main thing, especially with younger kids, is you can just show them hey, what we're doing is really helping you, and you know, maybe Frank and Harper, you guys can kind of talk about it. The tech side, you know, on your guys' points in your career, like, hey, like these things have helped, whether it's force plates, you know, Rapsodo, you know, TrackMan, all that stuff. Like, I think on the internet, there's a lot of kids that will look at that and be, you know, looking at spin rate and, you know, how hard they're throwing and all that, but like they don't really know how to put into practice how to move forward with that. Or if you're, you know, looking on Instagram and you see some guy doing a crazy back squat, like why shouldn't I be worried more about like doing a proper goblet squat, things like that. So just looking at your guys' career, where can that progress?
Yeah, so personally, I love technology, as you guys probably could have all guessed. Early on in my career, I was the guy that was, oh, I'm chasing this spin rate, I'm chasing this vertical break on my fastball, all of that good stuff that TrackMan gives you, Rapsodo gives you. But eventually I learned, like, once you get out on the field, none of that crap matters. It matters, like, how competitive you are, and can you get a fastball by the guy, can you execute a slider in the dirt. But, like, I think for me overall, technology gives you a hint of where you're at, and, like, you can mess around with your TrackMan numbers trying to get 22 inches of vertical break on your fastball, but maybe you don't have the ability to get behind the ball like that. And just having a pitching coach like Bob in my career to say, okay, hey, you can't pronate like that. You're a supinator bias, so you don't need to chase 100% spin efficiency. All of that good stuff just got me in a good place where I can just go out on the mound and compete my balls off. But yeah, having somebody out there to guide you with technology is super beneficial.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think technology is great and it's a good tool. But at the end of the day, I kind of came from a time where it was old school. So like the thing that people struggle with nowadays in baseball, especially in the professional side, is how do they marry the old school thought of being a bulldog and just going out there and it doesn't matter what you have or what's going on that day and just getting outs. And then also, like, how do we use technology now to make our players better? And let's be 100% clear. The only thing that matters in baseball from the pitching side is if you get outs. If you get outs and you get outs better than the guy next to you, you're going to pitch longer than the guy next to you. That's the only thing that matters. Yeah, it's fun to strike guys out. Yeah, it's fun to not walk guys and stuff. But at the end of the day, if you get outs at a good clip and you don't give up runs, then you will pitch for a long time. Now, technology is important because technology gives you the understanding of what you do well and how what you do well can help you get outs. So that's where I like to use technology, because I think it's very dangerous to use when you're a younger athlete, because kids want to see something and then do something, right? But they don't take the time to kind of learn their own way and become their own pitcher and then take what they naturally do well. I would say all of us are naturally going to do something well as pitching, especially if you get to a certain level, whether it's high school, college, you know. Once you get to college, I would imagine that you're already doing something well, that the technology will be able to back it up and help us understand what you're doing well and then how we can use that when we're facing hitters. The trouble is when you start to kind of get away from your strengths and think, okay, I want to add a new pitch, I want to do this. No, there aren't many pitchers in the big leagues that throw more than 3 pitches. There's a lot of pitchers in the big leagues that only throw 2 pitches. You know, some of the good guys throw 4, but if you can throw 3 pitches at any time, no matter if they're elite profiles or not, and you should have success. You know, it's about the consistency. And so using the technology that we have at our disposal, which is the TrackMan, the Rapsodo, we've got a high definition slow-mo camera that we'll use to see how the ball's coming out of your hands. Stuff like that, we can kind of dive down into, okay, maybe can we make the slider a little bit better? Like taking what you already do well and then making it a little bit better. Or for me personally, what's been good is that I'll have 1 year where my slider's amazing, and the next year I'll come back and I'm throwing it the exact same way, but it's totally different. The TrackMan will be like, no, that's a terrible pitch. Last year was a great pitch. Now I'll be like, okay, like how do I get back to that? And that's the kind of thing that I use technology. It's kind of checks and balances. For me personally, what's more important on the technology side is what you're talking about with the force plates and that kind of stuff. And I'd want you to talk about the tests that we do with the athletes, because making sure you're physically strong and physically fit and physically able to do all these different movements and be strong in these certain patterns is the first check mark before you get on the mound and then try and throw a ball as hard as you can. So what with the force plates, tests do you go through, and what do the tests tell you about the athlete, and then what maybe if one guy's lacking in a certain area, what would you prescribe for him in the weight room?
So yeah, so we take the athletes through 4 different tests. First test is a counter movement jump. This test is basically a vertical jump. We do all our tests with our hands on our hips because it takes the arms out of the equation. Our arms help drive us up in the air. So we're just trying to test the lower half. So first test, counter movement jump, have the athletes do about 3 reps of that test. The next test that we do is a squat jump. It's basically like the counter movement, but you're starting the jump already in a quarter squat position, holding it for 3 seconds, and then driving up from that position. Again, we do about 3 reps of that. The next test that we do is a hop test. This test is testing our RSI, so our reactive strength index. So I basically sum it up as a test that's just gonna show me how fast I can get from point A to point B. And then the 4th test is a isometric mid thigh pull. This is the max strength test. So we do this test instead of having a kid do a, you know, 1 rep max on a back squat or a trap bar deadlift on the first day, because most kids aren't conditioned to do that. So we feel this will be the safer option to test their max strength. How we kind of differentiate the test from athlete A to athlete B, let's say we look at these tests and we see a kid is pulling roughly 1,000 newtons. I think the highest guy we have pulls, what
is Borka? Shout out Borka, good job, buddy. It was like 3,800, yeah, which is a lot.
Yeah, he pulls a 38, which we want most of the pro guys at least at 3,000 and above. So if you're at 1,000, that shows us right there that your main block, this first block we're going to do with you, is basically strength. And usually if your strength growth goes up, usually that'll take everything up as well. We'll get athletes in here that counter movement jump is 20 plus, but they're pulling 15. That shows us that this athlete is very explosive, very springy, but he's not very strong. So then we would pretty much do the same thing with him. Instead of us doing a bunch of, you know, jumping and explosive stuff, hey, you're already explosive, like you're blessed with that ability. Now let's enhance your ability by getting you stronger in the weight room. And then once again, we'll retest every 4 to 6 weeks and try to make adjustments as needed.
I think it kind of depends, like Trevor was saying, it kind of depends on the guy. Like when you're getting an athlete that maybe isn't as developed in the weight room, like building just a good strength base will help them with all the other things. There does come a point in time where, you know, I'll give Harper, you know, a compliment. It's not going to happen very often. It's happened like twice now in 2 days, but he's a really strong guy, right? Like we're reverse lunging 500 pounds. Well, like he's holding a 5-ounce baseball on the mound. So there does come a point where it's like, we can build strength, but now we're just teaching our body to move slow with a lot of weight. And when we're playing a sport, like the thing that shows up on the field most, which is power production. So power is how fast can I move weight, whereas strength is how much weight can I move. So a lot of our pro athletes, and I would say the majority of our college athletes, are kind of in that more advanced bucket where it's like, hey, like we've got the strength now, keep moving things fast. And so we'll put them on, it's called VBT training, where we'll be able to hook it onto the bar and it's like, hey, we're going to give you a range of how fast you need to move, so we're going to move these things. You know, I know Will behind the computer here loves doing that kind of stuff, but we usually get guys to do that, and it's a process, right? Like when you're a professional athlete or a kid, like it's just fun to move a lot of weight. And so like trying to change guys' mindsets to, hey, this is like, it's good, like it's cool that you can do this, but what's actually going to help you on the field is this. And that's where that, what Frank was saying, like that's where the tech can kind of help you, is like, hey, you know, you're in the 99th percentile for strength, but it's like 71 for your counter movement jump, and your counter movement jump actually is what helps you the most on the mound. So like being able to show guys that, it just builds a little bit of buy-in. And you know, Harp and Frank, maybe you guys can talk about that as a professional athlete. Like you're walking to a building, you know, I don't think the best thing to do is to, like for me, to come up to you and say like, hey, you're doing these things wrong, or you're not doing this right, like, so we need to change this. So kind of talk about like what your expectations are, and then kind of how you want to work with people in facilities that are trying to coach guys.
Yeah, well, what I'm hearing from you guys too is something that, like I kind of mentioned, was that you want to take what they do well, that you want to hold on to that, but then if we can kind of bump up those little things that maybe they could, that we can see help them a little bit more in the areas where they're weak, then that's kind of when you're starting to create really good returns on your training and stuff.
For me, it's the same thing. You know, like when you walk into a facility and you get guys that you can see are just really gifted athletes, you kind of want to help them in areas that they still might struggle. And I think one of the things that with the young athletes that come in the door here right now, it's so crazy to me, because when I see all these athletes come in the door now from when I was in high school, the kids are just way more far advanced. And I think that's a credit to, like you said, the technology, but also just like kids kind of taking a front seat in their training and really owning what they want to do and getting better. As far as what I've seen through baseball, because I think that there's a good conversation to have about guys who are kind of, we came up with this term that's in either you're an indoor cat or an outdoor cat. You know, indoor cats do everything really cool in the weight room. You know, they're strong. They can jump out of the gym. They can throw 100 on a step behind. But the outdoor cats are the people who kind of come in and it's like, okay, like I just know how to get outs. I just know how to pitch, you know, and stuff like that. And it's like, how do we get some of these indoor cats to kind of transition and become outdoor cats and become a little bit better at the what they're training for and the sport that they're training for? And there's a bunch of different thoughts on that as far as like how you can help kids get better in that kind of way. For me, the most important thing, and we'll talk about how it contributes to the performance side as well, but is consistency. And we talked about consistency in our first recording of this, and I think it's really important to bring back up, because consistency to me is ultimately the most important thing that we have, honestly, as human beings, but especially as athletes. The athletes who are usually the best are the athletes who are their most consistent within their process and consistent in their results, right? LeBron has been playing basketball for freaking ever, and every single night he's a triple-double threat. He's consistently putting up the numbers and the same numbers day in and day out. And I guarantee that if you went to LeBron, and maybe we'll have him on the podcast in a little bit. I'm just joking.
LeBron, you're more than welcome.
But if you ask him, he has a plan from the moment he wakes up to the moment he goes to sleep. And that entire process is geared towards making sure he is ready to go out there and compete at a high level. And for me, it's important because it's pitching. Pitching is this crazy thing where nobody is the same pitcher. Nobody does the same thing on the mound. Everybody's going to be different. Everybody's going to be different with how they get outs. But the guys who are the best are the guys that own their mechanics and own their process and are able to repeat and consistently put the ball where they want to. Because the nice thing about baseball is it doesn't matter if I make the perfect pitch. Something always crazy can happen. You know, if I make the perfect pitch and I break his bat, it still might fall in for a base hit. And then, like, that's kind of how we have to own that. But if you can consistently put the ball where you want to, my guess is that you'll consistently miss bats, or you'll consistently generate weak contact, which consistently will lead to outs. How do we practice consistency as pitchers? Is making sure that our deliveries and our mechanics are in a spot that we can repeat them. There are plenty of baseball players in the big leagues that have terrible, terrible mechanics, but they repeat them and they're consistent with them, and that's why they're in the big leagues and that's why they consistently get outs. You know, those guys that we've all seen in our careers, and I know that some of the people listening have seen them, where they're like, damn, that guy's amazing. And then you see him a week later and he's like, man, he can't hit this broadside of a barn if he wanted to right now. And it's usually because there's an inconsistency in his mechanics. As far as like, how do we get better at those areas? For me, it's like practicing consistency. And it's something that, like, I'm a very routine oriented person, so much so to where it probably is a little tiring for my wife and everybody around me. But I like to do the same thing every day. Like, I like to do the same thing every day. I do the same thing in the morning, I do the same thing in the afternoon. I work out. I do the same thing before my workout and make sure I'm ready for my workout. My workouts are going to change based on the day. But if I'm practicing consistency throughout my entire day, that's going to lead to consistency in my life. And I know we talked about, I forget what the, like, there's a general or some kind of guy in the military that talked about, like, making your bed every morning and the importance of making your bed every morning and accomplishing that first thing. If you're consistent in that and you're consistently waking up and accomplishing that one thing in the morning, it's going to be one after another domino effect will happen. And so let's take this second and we'll acknowledge consistency and how important has it been in your guys' lives. And do you think that's kind of a one thing that everybody can get better at as far as their kids that you come in and train here? And I think that that's an important thing that we also talk about
when we're on the turf, because we're here every day. And a lot of the kids think, oh, we just show up at 4 and kind of roll it out. No, we don't. We're here much earlier taking care of the stuff that we need to take care of, making sure that we're ready to take care of the kids that are coming in here and wanting to get better. So, Harp, what about you?
Yeah, so consistency has always been a big theme in my career, and more so recently. We were talking earlier today about, you know, all the cool stuff you see on Instagram, and I'll talk about myself. I used to
be indoor cat.
I used to be that guy that would find something cool on Instagram and try it out, whether it's like a new spinal engine move or whatever it is. I still do that stuff, but it's definitely with more intent behind it. I'm not just trying it out because I understand what happens with it. But consistency in your program is super important. I think following a bare bones program, whether it be like, you know, 4x10 for every exercise, doing that day in, day out is better than changing up your stimulus, going training 2 days, taking a week off. But I feel like a lot of kids can fall into that trap where it's, you know, for a week, I'm going to grind really hard. And then it gets tiring and I'm going to, you know, put the brakes on it and not try as hard anymore. But I think being consistent day in, day out is super important because that translates into the season. You got to build the foundation in the off season, and then those routines you have getting ready in the off season to make yourself feel good on that Friday velo day, Friday bullpen day, you're going to realize, hey, I need to take some of that stuff in season. And that's kind of what I realized this year is it can't be a super long routine. It, like as a bullpen guy, you got to be able to get hot quick. Sure, you have your routine before the game. You have your routine in like the fourth inning, fifth inning. Who knows? Second inning, there may be crap going down the field, bases juice, and you got to go in. You got to have that one or two things that gets you primed and ready to go. But consistency in my life has been huge. I'll shout out a buddy of mine, Trey Dillard. He showed me this app called Habit Share, where you can set up like however many habits you want. I think he's got like 75 on there.
That's too many.
I've got like 12 or 15 right now, where it's like also make your bed. Make your bed. Read the Bible, journal, whatever it is, and like you keep stacking those days and you see the progress, green, green, green. Then you kind of get mad at yourself when you miss something, but just having something to hold you accountable, having somebody to hold you accountable can be huge as well.
Yeah, and I think like just from the observation and like as a coach, right, like especially with these professional athletes like Frank, Will, Harper, our job really is to help create routine. I think that's probably one of the biggest thing, and just being consistent, understanding, like especially guys at this level, like they know what helps them and they know what doesn't help them, and then like it's your job to kind of help fit those puzzle pieces together. Maybe like, hey, you know, like I really like Frank was talking about earlier, like, hey, you know, I think the most important things for you to do are these things, and here's why, you know, and it's up to Frank to kind of like decide, like, is that true? Is that not true? And then we can kind of move on with that. But I think the biggest thing that kids, you know, they talk about, right, is they'll see these guys throw, you know, on Fridays during bullpens, and they'll be like, oh, they're throwing, you know, like 100 miles an hour, you know, whatever. But they don't see the Monday through Thursday, you know, getting up early, getting to the facility, you know, taking the full 30 minutes to do their whole warm up and then go throw and do all the little things to get to that Friday bullpen where they can go out and throw hard. I think a lot of times kids don't understand, like, it's those little things, because, you know, Trevor and I see all the time, kids will walk in, try to get lost in the shuffle on purpose, skip their workout, go upstairs and run, be pissed that they didn't run as fast as they wanted to, you know, go to their workout, skip some of the things at the end, be upset that their squat isn't as high as it should be or was at the week before. You know, just being in the facility watching these guys, you know, like obviously people are people and that's going to happen, but the reason why a lot of these high level guys are the way they are is like, sure, they were, you know, they have a lot of God-given ability, but also like they are working on it and taking it seriously, and they're taking just as seriously that plyo throw as they are that fastball against a guy that's in the box. And those are the things that kind of stack up what Harper was saying. Like, if you can hit all those check marks, all right, and then you go to your bullpen and it's not going the way you want it to, you can at least look back and say like, okay, are all these check marks I'm hitting, are they helping me? Are they hurting me, or was it just a bad week? But if you're being inconsistent in all your training, you kind of are a product of what you are. So if you're coming in twice a week, you know, and then you're going into your season, let's say it's a high school kid, you're hitting once a week, you go into your high school season and you don't have a good first 4 or 5 games, like as a hitting coach, I'd say, well, you're hitting once a week. So like, I don't know how you can expect good things to happen. Whereas you come in here in the mornings with these pro hitters, like it's every day at the same time, wanting to do a lot of the same stuff. If we're going to change things up, like there's got to be a reason, a purpose behind it. So Trevor, maybe you can talk about like on the strength and conditioning side, just with like being consistent, like what you see in those high level guys. And then, you know, sometimes it's not really like, you know, a kid's fault if you're 12, like you don't really know what you don't know. But, you know, guys that are like committed in college, maybe you've seen guys where it's like it's kind of hit or miss. They go to college and they come back and it's totally different. So maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I kind of want to just start off with shouting one of my athletes out. Started with me, I think, four years ago. He started out, he was 5'6", 5'7". And he worked out consistently for 3 days a week. Consistent. Probably missed in the four to five years he'd been with me, probably 3 days. His name's Blake Sebastian. He's going to University of Nebraska now, but just showing athletes the importance of consistency when it comes to that. He came in ready to work. Of course, there were days where he didn't feel like he didn't have everything in him, but he still came in and did something. I think a lot of times kids, they feel stomach hurts or something, or you know, something very mild, they'll just cash the day and just, you know, hang it up and whatever. But when you realize that you want to go somewhere, you have a goal in place, you'll do whatever it takes to, you know, to get to that point, you know, day in, day out, on the good days, on the bad days. I try to tell the athletes that the bad days are just about more important than the good ones, because anybody can bat 400 on a good day, but if you strike out three times, what are you doing in that day? You know, are you staying the same? Are you, you know, going up and down? But yeah, consistency for me, for myself personally, I try to stay consistent with a lot of stuff, and I realize that, you know, if I'm not consistent, that throws my day off, and that just kind of, you know, puts me out of whack. So I try to instill that in the athletes as well, and you know, make sure they come in ready to work daily.
Yeah, I think a lot of that consistency comes from trust in your process, and then also trust in your coaches. And I think that's a big thing with having Zach and Bob and Trevor and everybody else on this podcast, is being able to put a source out there that allows you to be consistent. I know I've been one of those guys in the past to where I've had my ears open to everybody and heard every little thing and tried to do everything that 10 coaches have had to tell me to do at once. And then I've been the complete other way, where I know everything, I don't want to listen to anybody. And so I think that's where it's great to have Trevor, Frank and Bob and everybody here, to where you guys have a good source of consistency now. You guys have a process you can trust. And that's what I think all of these coaches provide to their athletes, which is hard to find now. I run a lot of our social media stuff, and it is hard to see what most of these places and gurus and all of this are putting out.
One of your big, we've talked a lot, obviously, but I think one of your big things is talking about, like, especially the higher up you climb in an athletic career, like the more people want to get your kind of like your hands on you, be part of your career. A lot of coaches are also trying to climb a ladder, so they want to put like a stake down and say like, I helped this guy do this thing. You've been a professional athlete for the longest here, and so maybe you can kind of talk about like, hey, how can you know like when somebody's giving you a good coaching tip, or it could even be a teammate. Like, how do you know when that's happening? How do you know when it's like, I think this guy's just like saying a thing and he's kind of out for himself?
Yeah, I think that this is such a, like, this could be its own episode in itself, and the importance of coaching within just youth sports in general and the professional side in general. I think that it's so important to find a good person in your life that can lead you to the water and have you drink it and have that be something that helps you along the way. But unfortunately, there are going to be coaches that just kind of want to say same thing and say the same stuff to everybody. And it's just going to be kind of that kind of blanket material that we hope kind of sticks on someone and helps them. I think that if we're going to stick with baseball specifically and the training side specifically, the importance of coaching is that, and the approach of being a good coach, a coachable athlete is also important. And we talk about it as coaches. For me, the most difficult thing with being a coach is not trying to do too much with the kid. I think that, like you talk about, the question that you just asked me, the most
common mistake that I see, and you talk about like coaches trying to climb the ranks too, is that you get a guy and you immediately want to put your stamp on him and be like, hey, that guy got better because of me. Most kids who get to the professional level, and at that point, you know, they're not kids anymore, they're adults, is that they're there for a reason. Right? They're going to succeed or not succeed based on what has gotten to that point. For me, I think it's really important when a kid can approach you and ask you for help. That becomes a point where it's like, hey, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about and he's going to help me get better because I want him to be better. You know what I'm saying? The guys that are just going to be like, hey, like you need to throw, like why are you throwing a fastball there? Like, oh, two, you know, or like whatever. It's like that hindsight coaching that doesn't help anybody. You know, if a kid can approach you and be like, hey, like I'm struggling with this today. Like, what are your thoughts on this? And then that means, okay, first of all, that kid is ready to be coached. That kid is ready to have my insight, good or bad. Right, whether it's going to work for him or not work for him is what I mean, not good or bad. With guys that just give you the same answer every time that you kind of approach them with coaching, it becomes a point where it's just like, okay, like I'm just hearing it's in one ear, out the other. You know, and I think with what Will is talking about is as an athlete and as far as being a coachable athlete, you want to hear everything and then listen to a few things. You know, as athletes, we have the time and ultimately it's on ourselves whether we succeed at the end of the day or not. But if we hear everything a coach is saying and we maybe try at one point or another what our coach is trying to impart on us, then we'll figure out what is going to work with us in the long run. If you try it and it doesn't work and you want to move on to the next level, that's fine, right? But at least give the things a try so we can begin to work on what's going to find or what's going to be the right recipe for that athlete. The problem with coaching is that when you just kind of give guys blanket stuff, you know, and then now their kids are just trying everything under the sun to get better, it just kind of becomes diluted and unhelpful. How has it been in your career, Dan? What do you think?
I think a big thing is that trust takes time. You know, yeah, you can sure you can look at a guy's playing track record, but that doesn't necessarily mean he knows everything. There are so many people out there that, you know, haven't made it past low A, but they're super knowledgeable about the body, how the body works. And then there are guys that have 15 years in the big leagues that don't have like the knowledge base to help a kid out who's 15. And so for me personally, like I think I definitely have trust issues at first, like when somebody tries to come up to me, because I feel like throughout my process and all of my injuries, learning about myself, I feel like I have a pretty decent idea of what I need to do. But it takes time for somebody to build, for that trust to build up in me. And I think as a coach now, it's okay, how can I get this kid to trust me? Like, and it goes back to what Frank was saying, you don't change everything in one day. That's just trying to put your stamp on the kid, trying to find the one thing that clicks that maybe for that bullpen can get him from 88 miles an hour to hitting that 90 and getting that 90 mile an hour club shirt we have here. But for me, like on the coaching side, it's what's the lowest hanging fruit and how can I simplify that so they understand? You know, we have kids that are 8 years old, we have kids that are 18, like Blake, a huge 6'5", 250 pound kid, however big he is. And how you have to simplify that is different for each kid, and each kid has their knowledge base that they have as well, whether that's come from the Instagram, the Twitter, the TikTok, or it's come from them learning from other people in their lives. But just trust is big, and with that is communication. And I'll say, like, Zach and Trevor on the strength side and Bob on the pitching side, they're always communicating their ideas and they're open to your ideas as well. So as a coach, I'm always open to a kid saying, hey, I saw this on Instagram, like, because I was that guy, can I try it out? I'll be like, yeah, let's look at it first. And I'll tell you my thoughts. And then once you have my thoughts, you can run with it if you want. And that's your decision.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think that communication part is really, you know, big. Like the other day, most of me and Frank's interactions are just giving each other crap. But I mean, the other day, you know, he's like, I can't do this supine neck car. This is dumb. I can't get into this. And I was like, well, we have to do something, you know, for your neck, like, mobility wise. And he's like, well, I like these two things. It's like, fine, that's cool, like it's going to do the same thing, so we're going to do that. Wants to kind of sit down and help make his strength program, which is great. And I've got guys that are just like, hey, just write it and I'll do it, and that's fine too. Even younger kids, like, you know, I'll ask the middle school or elementary school athletes that I work with, like, hey, what's something you really want to do this next month? And then you do that, and it just kind of gives them a little extra buy-in. I think the hardest part, especially, you know, especially with like the pro guys, like I don't, me and Frank are the same age. I don't feel like I can just be like, Frank, you're doing this. Like, this is what we're going to do. I have to view it as like, hey, like, if I can't convince him or sell him on why we need to do this, then it's probably not a very good plan anyways. And that's kind of the way I look at it. You know, there's differences based on the age of the athlete, obviously. Like, if I ask, you know, like if I asked Blake, hey, Blake, what do you want to do every day? He might just say like bench and deadlift, which wouldn't be great for him. But, you know, or even Will, you know, Will wants to squat and RDL all day. So like you kind of have to help guys out get to where they want to go. But that's your job as the coach. Like obviously it's science-based. Everything we do is like science-based, but there's a little bit of art in it. Because like if the guy doesn't want to buy into it and they're doing, you know, something halfway, like they're not going to get better at it anyways. And that goes for like hitting, pitching, lifting. It doesn't really matter what it is. If you can't get them to buy into it, then it doesn't really matter because they're not going to try hard at it. And if they're not going to try hard at it, you just wasted a month.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I really like what you said about giving them the opportunity to have their own buy-in on their program, because when an athlete can look forward to coming in and doing something that he feels like good about wanting to do every day, it's going to be way, way better in the long run than if a coach, where we've all had the coach that just kind of, okay, you're going to do this, 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 and this, and then we'll see, we'll get you out of here. You know, like that's not fun. Yeah. You know, but if I know Zach told me I'm going to be able to deadlift today, like, let's go. Like, today's my deadlift day. I come in, kill my deadlift, or maybe I don't kill my deadlift. But then next week I know, okay, I get another chance. I'm like, I'm going to get to see my results. I get to see everything that I'm doing. Like, that becomes way more fun for the kid. And it becomes more fun to, like, we always talk about enjoying the process, you know. And ultimately, the day that, if we're playing baseball, when we get to go out and pitch, that's our day off, you know. Like, that's our fun day. We get to go out, we get to forget about everything we worked on during the week. We just get to go out and compete. But that day is just as important about the 5 days or 6 days in between, where you're getting better and making sure you're doing all the small stuff each and every day, loving that just as much as the part of getting on the mound and getting guys out. That's important.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I know we've kind of talked a lot about a lot of different stuff in this, I don't even know how long we've been recording, probably roughly an hour. We've kind of been all over the place, but I think the main thing that you can kind of see that has kind of gone over and over and over with this is just like consistency. It's not everybody, and I'm sure Frank and Harper and Will can tell you this, like your motivation level is going to go up and down. And it's really like, do you have the discipline to continue to get better? And those are the things that, you know, me and Trevor see all the time. Like you can see it with a 10-year-old kid and you can see it with, you know, a 30-year-old professional athlete. Like guys are going to have different motivation levels based on that day. And there's different stressors, you know, like some of our pro guys have families and kids. It could be a 12-year-old kid that walks in and had a, you know, a terrible day at school. And so, like, your motivation may be low that day, but it's really, like, do you have the discipline to continue to work hard on the day that you don't feel good? I was just telling a kid this the other day, like, anybody can squat on the day that they want to squat. I know you're tired today. Like, you may not lift as much as you normally do, and that's fine, but you still need to get the reps and the sets done today. And I think those are important things that we need to learn and things that maybe aren't as highlighted anymore. And that's kind of that old school mentality that Frank was saying. Like, I'm not saying you need to go out there and like get hurt, but you know, there are some days where you're just not going to feel like it and you kind of got to get it done on that day.
Yeah, I think that's the importance of good coaching too, especially like on the strength and conditioning side, because there are days where you're just wiped and you just have no desire, but like there's still something that you can do to get better that day, whether it's like a mobility day or like something like that. Like, yeah, there's something every day that you can do to help you continue to climb that lateral, that 1% by 1% by 1% every day of kind of achieving your goal. And then unfortunately, once you get to that big league level or you achieve that goal, it doesn't stop. You gotta continue to get better because everyone around you is still going to be trying to get better themselves.
Yeah.
I think that that we're getting close to wrapping it up today. We're gonna try and finish every episode with something a little bit more fun. Today we've talked a lot about coaching. We've talked about like kind of the youth development through the college development, through the professional development of players. So for today, let's try to kind of go around. Let's say if you could go back and tell your 12-year-old self, you know, one thing about playing or being at the next level or training or something like that, or kind of enjoying the kind of the road, what would you tell your younger self? you don't have very much time because the time portal closes. So what's the one thing that you'd tell your former self?
What I would tell myself would be to, first off, get in the weight room. Start early. I didn't start lifting weights until, I think, my senior year in high school. I was very small in college, went through a lot of injuries, hamstring injuries, soft tissue stuff. But that's probably the main thing, get in the weight room, eat food. A lot of kids don't really eat nowadays. They just eat, drink pre-workout and whey protein shakes and stuff. I would say eat real food and get big. And basically, I would just tell myself to take things one day at a time. I played a lot of games kind of nervous, and I feel like that kind of hindered my abilities on the field sometimes, but just takes things one day at a time. Stay present, stay in the moment, and make sure you play each game like it's your last, just because you just never know when that time will come, and when it comes, it's gonna suck. So just make sure you're playing every game as hard as you can, and just take it one day at a time.
I think I'll piggyback on that. I think mine also, like, hey, the two strength coaches are going to say, like, get in the weight room. But here's mine.
Get in the weight room has been used.
Yeah, well, here's mine, and here's my reason why. I think it improves your confidence, especially when you're a younger kid. It just gives you confidence to do things. I think doing difficult things helps you out in life. And so I think for me, if I could have just bought into that and I should have listened to my dad. My dad was a competitive power lifter, and I was just like, yeah, I'd rather just go like hit or play outside with my friends. And,
loser.
And he competed in powerlifting, so I should have probably listened to that earlier. And then by the time it was kind of like Trevor, like I feel like my first couple years in college was playing catch up. And so I think just doing those things earlier, it'll help with your confidence and just your ability to overcome adversity. So I think that's the biggest thing you can do early on.
For me, it's probably keep on playing multiple sports, which we've talked about it before. When I was 12, I was like all in on baseball. Yeah, I played basketball. I didn't really care about it.
If you've seen Harper's jump shot, you can tell.
It's true. I think it honestly may have hindered my athletic development a little bit of just like, okay, I'm only going to be rotating to my right and throwing and hitting, never getting into any different plane of movement. If I would have kept playing basketball, who knows what would have happened. But definitely would not be playing basketball professionally, I'll tell you that. But maybe I'd be healthier because, you know, having three injuries by the time you're 25 is a crap ton. I'd say play multiple sports to myself and then specialize when you know baseball is what you want to do, which it always has been what I wanted to do. But I think if I would have specialized at 16 instead of 13, maybe I'm healthier. But who knows? You can't look back and change what you did.
Yeah, and kind of move on with that. I think a big thing now is kids are playing 12 months around the year. Like, these kids are training and everything. So I think the biggest thing is just have fun. Like, this is a game. I know it's big, but burnout levels are higher than ever. And this isn't a job until you make it a job. And even then, it's still supposed to be fun. So I think if I was, going to go talk to myself when I was 12, I'd just say keep enjoying the game.
Yeah, those are all really good. Fortunately, I did not get in the gym when I was younger, so that would have been good. I can't use that. So I was 6'3", 170. It's not a good weight when I get to college. Learn and enjoy and have fun in the game is also really good. I think that if I had to tell my 12-year-old self something, I would say, this is so hard going last.
Learn how to hit.
You can't pitch. No. I would say push yourself and find every single way you can to compete against the best person you know. For me, like what Harper said, was playing multiple sports. I played multiple sports, and I love that. I love that information, and I love that kind of tip for people. I'd say, like, if you can play up, play up. If you can find your older brother and play against your older brother, play against your older brother. You know, like, find people who are better than you and play against them and try and beat them every day, because ultimately it'll drive your thirst for competition, and that's what's going to keep you going in the long run. For me, I went to a tiny, tiny private school in San Francisco, and I had a recruited walk-on spot to Kansas, and I could either have gone to like a small school in California and kind of like been a bigger fish in a smaller pond, but I wanted to get better. And I walked on, and my first weekend we were playing at TCU in front of 7,000 people, and I'm shaking in my cleats, you know. But ultimately, like, that was one of the best decisions I ever made, and it made me a better player. And so if you can
push yourself every single time, because you never know where the game will take you if you continue to push yourself and continue to play against the best. But I think that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your time. I hope that somebody said something today that can kind of sit on your mind and make you think about how you want to get better each and every day. We'll be back next week with another episode. We're going to have some great, great people on. We're going to do some great interviews. We've got some big leaguers. We've got some very smart people in the game of baseball. We've got some very entertaining people in life we're going to talk to. Like and subscribe. We look forward to hearing your input and thoughts, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.